Hello and welcome to LinkedIn Uncover with me, Philip Horn. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you as well for those who are watching on the replay. LinkedIn Uncovered is a show in which I look to explore LinkedIn strategies that can help you to gain and keep the attention of the people you want to engage with on LinkedIn. Whether you're on the live or the replay, please leave comments and we'll aim to answer your questions as the show goes along. Today, I want to talk about how corporates can best use LinkedIn. I'm pleased to say I'm joined today by Maggie, the CEO of Mears Consult, a leading growth enablement firm. But before we speak to Maggie, I want to share with you three interesting facts about the LinkedIn user base and content. First fact, 43% of LinkedIn users are in decision-making roles. So, you know, LinkedIn currently has a user base of 810 million. So that's just under 350 million decision-makers. So LinkedIn gives you direct access to these people. 3% of active LinkedIn users on LinkedIn create content. This means there's a huge opportunity to get your prospects' eyeballs on your content. Last fact, 80% of all B2B social media leads come from LinkedIn. So a real opportunity to gain new clients, you know, that's with if companies are proactively implementing strategies. So now I'm going to come to Maggie, who's been patiently waiting. Maggie, first of all, thank you for agreeing to come on LinkedIn Uncovered. Could you give us a little bit of an intro about you and your background?
Thank you so much, Phil. And I'm really honored to be invited to be part of this conversation. So thank you for inviting me and my company, Mears Consult. So in terms of what we do at Mears Consult, we are a business and personal growth consulting firm, also focused on growth enablement, like you said. And we work with individuals, businesses, and entrepreneurs to explore new ways of being, new ways of leading, and new ways of growing their business exponentially, which of course, you know, includes things like, you know, being seen and found on LinkedIn as part of their sales and marketing activity. So I'm really excited to be here.
Excellent. Thank you, Maggie. And we're, you know, I'm very happy to have you here as well. Really do enjoy our chats that we've had. I mentioned a few minutes ago some stats about the opportunity on LinkedIn. From your experience, do you think corporate companies are taking the opportunities on LinkedIn seriously enough?
I think LinkedIn can sometimes become an afterthought when it comes to how companies or corporates especially approach LinkedIn, unless they have someone who is rather dedicated to specific social media channels. Even so, it's important that we make sure that, you know, a platform like LinkedIn focuses quite strongly in our overall sales and marketing strategy, especially based on the stats that you've read out. You know, the opportunities are endless. If only we stop to factor that into the wider plan and its execution.
Yeah. Do you think, my impression from my experience is some companies, you know, think, you know, they basically say, you know, our marketing team look after this, you know, but then when you go and look at what they're actually doing, like on their company page, you see that they're not actually actively doing very much.
No.
You know, they've not got a huge following. They're not posting any useful content. But, you know, LinkedIn, especially for obviously B2B companies, there is a real opportunity to, you know, reach, you know, those 350 million decision makers. So, you know, what advice would you give to, you know, companies who don't quite have, you know, the expertise in house? You know, is it about being honest and just saying, yeah, actually, hand up, you know, we do need some help?
I think that's definitely one of the ways of looking at it, especially if it's not set up correctly, so that at least it can start to bring in the benefits of using the platform. Secondly, I don't think it's necessarily always the marketing department or the sales department's role. And so I think it's about, you know, like LinkedIn is part of a company's digital footprint. and a company is made up of its people. And as we look at humanizing brands, I think it's important that the whole company, in terms of individuals within the company, who hopefully are all on LinkedIn, really look at how they work to project the brand and the products and services that they offer, you know, as a team. And I think if it's communicated, you will find more people, you know, tagging their companies or even making sure that their profile has selected their company on it. So if someone goes to the corporate page, they are able to also see, you know, the type, the number of employees and also specific employees if they want to.
In my sort of experience, it seems a little bit haphazard. There doesn't seem to be any sort of clear strategy or communication that, you know, you're an employee and, you know, here's how you link to the correct page, because many times people almost make up their own pages or, you know, the logo doesn't get pulled in because they're not pulling in the right, you know, the company page.
Exactly.
Just, it's not great for the overall brand image.
No, not at all.
I think part of the problem is, you know, a lot of corporates, you know, the structures are all completely different. You know, I sales and marketing departments, there's so many different job titles, you know, in some sort of medium-sized companies, you've got a sales and marketing, you know, head of sales and marketing, but in other bigger companies, you know, you've got, you know, it's broken, you know, into sales and marketing. And then you've got obviously different departments like, you know, marketing operations and sales operations. You know, in your experience and based on obviously your own thoughts, you know, which department in your opinion is best placed to be driving the overall strategy for LinkedIn, you know, or should this be a collaboration between, you know, either multiple departments or functions within those departments?
So I think definitely sales and marketing, because they are kind of front facing for an organization. In addition to that, I think there needs to be involvement from HR specifically, because again, they go to ensure that the wider company is felt, its presence is felt. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, I feel that there needs to be some form of strategic imperative here. And so it needs to be overseen by someone who overall looks at how the corporate identity is represented. Mm-hmm. And it could be someone within with a strategic role, whether a senior leader or senior manager.
Yeah. No, I think you mentioning HR is interesting as well. The times that I've worked with corporates, not everyone who is, you know, in a sales team actually wants to partake in, you know, in sort of campaigns. You know, this is my personal profile. You know, I don't want it used. And, you know, it's usually the sales teams that's, you know, that are part of this, you know, delivering the campaign. And, you know, part of their sort of job is to obviously generate opportunities for themselves as well. And yeah, it's tricky because it's their personal profile, and it's like, how do corporates, you know, navigate that aspect?
So I've had several conversations around this actually. I think what works best is look at a happy medium between kind of the individual and the corporate responsibility. So for instance, we have to look at the idea of encouraging the individuals to be able to project and develop their own personal or professional brands, and also look at how their brands, their personal brands, professional brands, their values, and the kind of things they post align with the corporate brand. And then aligns with, you know, things like why they're proud to be part of the organization, why their products and services are the best, and things like that. But I think it does require the individual to be convinced and to be met halfway. And maybe the idea of going from personal to the corporate brand really works very well in the long run for the company, because at the end of the day, we're looking at humanizing brands. Mm-hmm. And when someone else or when an individual talks about a brand which doesn't necessarily have a face, it gets received better than just a brand with a logo talking about something.
Definitely. That's definitely true. The funny thing I always think about is, you know, this is their personal account and they're getting paid to grow their own network, which mm-hmm. obviously leaves with them as well. So yes. I think sometimes it's a little bit short-sighted by, you know, the individuals, but each to their own, obviously, each to their own. Mm. You've sort of alluded to there my next sort of little topic I'm going to talk about, and then that's about leaders and social media. So the likes of Bill Gates, Richard Branson, and Elon Musk, you know, they're making a point of being very visible on social media, you know, including LinkedIn, to mm-hmm. help push their brands, but, you know, their personal brand as well. Do you feel enough leaders are putting themselves out there to grow their personal brands, push their own brands, products, and influence on LinkedIn?
It takes a certain type of leader to do that. It takes the more visionary and dynamic leaders who have chosen to break out of the mold mm-hmm. of this is how I need to behave within my role, to a stage where they are representing, again, their personal brand, and this translates to the organizational brand. Mm-hmm. It works really well for entrepreneurial type leaders, and as I said, the visionary ones, and those who are not afraid to be stars. But increasingly, I am seeing a change, especially in a world where video and digital transformation is evolving so rapidly. You know, no leader can afford not to be able to support that within the organization. And so even if it's not a one phase promotion for the organization, we could look at how groups of people within the organization could find a way of, again, humanizing the brand and creating the kind of connections that they want for the audiences.
Well, I think product leaders, you know, if you look at big companies, you know, mm-hmm. the product leaders who are, you know, the experts of that product, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, the very top. It can be, you know, leaders all the way down the organization that can really, you know, really sell the products, the services, you know, the better probably than the, you know, the CEO.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if you go back to Elon Musk, you know, he's bigger than his brand. You mm-hmm. know, people know his name rather than, you know, the products that he sells, mm-hmm. but, you know, but he's obviously that entrepreneurial type of guy that, you know, isn't shy of the limelight mm-hmm. or saying the odd thing. But, you know, on LinkedIn, for example, you know, we've got things like this, an event that's got a live, you know, that there's no reason why, you know, leaders throughout the organization couldn't set up something like this and actually educate their audience about, you know, the sort of issues that they're facing and, mm-hmm. you know, solutions. And, oh, by the way, we can help.
Yeah.
And newsletters is another thing on LinkedIn where, you know, you can create an article and that goes, you know, goes out to your first connections who have signed up for your newsletter. So these are two things that if I was advising leaders, you know, you should definitely be doing these two things. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's, you know, doesn't take a huge amount of time, but really does get a lot of visibility for not just yourself, but the brand as well. Okay. Earlier on, I mentioned about the 3% of active users on LinkedIn, you know, create content. Where do you think corporates could improve on their content marketing strategy on LinkedIn? Obviously, we've just talked about leaders, but, you know, the overall organization.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The answer is yes. I see some getting there, but majority of the time, you know, with a platform like LinkedIn or any other social media, platform. I think you put the work in, you put the content in, but to some extent, you are at the mercy of the algorithms and the evolution and what the platform provider wants to favor. Mm-hmm. I was speaking to a social media strategist not too long ago, and she was talking about how, well, we've always known how video is being favored across the platforms, but we also know that this is supported by what I'll call the evolution of the buyer in terms of how consumers and buyers are choosing to buy and consume our products and services or approach the sales cycle. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there is much to be desired from a content production perspective, but I think those who are going to be getting the most and getting the result they're looking for are those who are dynamic in their creation of the content and those who are dynamic enough to really take into consideration the types of content that their buyers or consumers are looking for, and also what that particular platform, like LinkedIn, for instance, favors in terms of algorithms, so they can show it to other people and expand your reach.
Yeah, I agree. Video is going to be more and more important. The funny thing is, you're talking about favoring polls, LinkedIn polls. Mm-hmm. Just before the end of 2021, polls were getting so much exposure, much exposure. And as happens with a lot of these things, people overdo them and then they get downgraded.
Yeah,
which is, to be honest, downgraded. Yeah, they have been downgraded. They probably back level with all the others, competing. Mm-hmm. Polls are a great opportunity to actually speak to your audience and actually get people to identify, who's a prospect, who's interested in what you're offering.
Mm-hmm. And engage with you as well. So because then, because there's so much noise out there, you are looking for an opportunity to create a memory or to be top of mind of someone. And even if they're not ready to buy something from you yet, you want to position yourself in such a way that when they do come across someone, or when the timing is right for them to seek a service or product like yours, you will come back to them kind of as, top of mind. LinkedIn is about networking, first of all.
So. Absolutely. But, through content, through, even outreach, you can, even though they're not in the buying zone, mm-hmm. The 3% who are, actively looking for a solution, mm-hmm. By them sticking up their hand, you can still track them within Sales Navigator and put more content in front of them.
Absolutely. I love the work that you do, Phil, because it's like, well, you capture this kind of thing and, it means that that relationship gets started and then it builds over time and at the right time they fall into the right funnel within your social cycle as well.
Yes, well, now, Maggie, you can actually set up funnels, not funnels itself, but tracking of where people are in the buying journey as well in Sales Navigator. So I need to show you that. There's lots of things happening, Maggie. Lots of things happening. Need to update you. For me, corporates, they've got a massive opportunity with company pages and showcase pages, simply because, if you've got a lot of employees, why not, leverage those numbers?
Mm.
You create something on, create a post on, a company page or a showcase page, and point your employees at it. That who can obviously comment and like mm-hmm. it, but then also share it to their network.
Yeah.
And that's something, and it's just a sort of organization and communication. There's Robert. I've just noticed Robert saying, we all love the work Phil does. He is a connector. Thank you, Robert.
Hi, Robert.
So company pages, relationships are built person to person, but you know, for awareness and reach, you know, company pages are so underutilized, mm-hmm. and you know, especially for corporates.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, that's something I would, you know, if marketing departments are listening, is something that I would ask them to look at, because you can obviously grow that following, you know, quite easily if you use the volume of people, mm-hmm. and you know, people get the right training.
Mm.
This next point I want to come up with is, you know, sales teams, obviously, what's their job to sell and to, you know, generate opportunities that turn into, you know, new clients. But over, you know, the last couple of years, you know, one of the common complaints on LinkedIn that has gained, you know, a lot of momentum, is that people are being sold to too early without enough of a relationship being built up. So in your experience of working with sales leaders and their teams, do sales teams have enough of a steer on how to build relationships when doing inbound and outbound activities?
Unless, so coming back to what I said at the start of our conversation, Phil, unless it's directly something that is addressed in what they do as part of delivering what they deliver, it gets lost in translation, or individuals find ways of doing it for themselves, and yeah, it becomes a trial and error thing. I'll give you an example. In the last few weeks, I've been speaking to you know, someone in one of the leaders in an airline retail industry, and they were looking at how they start to project their presence better on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. and so just by that conversation, I just did a quick look on their LinkedIn, you know, page and the post that was happening. And very quickly, I was like, well, did you know that you could have capitalized a bit more on this event and that? And, you know, So I think, and yeah, he had no idea, and he started jotting quite a lot of things to then take it back to whoever is in charge, you know, so the education starts there. Mm-hmm. So unless we say we want LinkedIn to be part of the strategy, and then we distill that down to be, you know, at least what are the key steps that we need to take to make sure that this aspect of our brand awareness and sales and marketing execution plan is working, then everyone tries to find their own way. And they, even though they are spending time on it, that's the other thing, Phil, they're mm-hmm. spending time. So it's important for us to equip them.
Yep,
with the definitely. Right tools and techniques so that they can use less resources for maximum results. After all, they're salespeople and their time is very valuable, and the key thing is for them to show the numbers.
Yeah. I think, you know, bigger companies, sales enablement, you know, what you're talking about is sales enablement. Mm. And, you know, that's critical, you know, because someone, you know, the complaints are, you know, you send a connection message and then someone sells straight away with a huge, big email about, do you want to buy almost. And, you know, that is really negative for brands. So, you know, even educating people that don't do this, you know, don't do this. You know, it's all about relationship building. It's all about personalization. You know, salespeople should be more like a consultant rather than a seller, because, you know what?
Advisor, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many different ways that, you know, it's not just about trying to, you know, there's more, you know, education about how to actually engage and get in front of and start conversations. You know, mm-hmm. engaging with other people's content is a great way to obviously get, you know, right in front of your prospect.
Yeah.
Dale Carnegie, you know, a quote I like is, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you.
Yeah,
and, absolutely. You know, that sort of information and sort of education, you know, would go a long way to help salespeople, you know, and marketing people and anyone, you know, leaders, you know, to actually, you know, approach LinkedIn in the right way. Obviously, you know, I could talk about this subject on its own for quite a long time, but, you know, we don't really have that time today. The last question I want to come to, Maggie, is around collaboration. You know, at the start of the conversation, we were talking about, you know, sales and marketing working together. What would be your three tips for sales and marketing working together on their LinkedIn campaign strategy so that it's all joined up and, you know, gets that performance, the results that, you know, we're looking for?
I think the first tip would be for them to have a joint effort, right? So it will mean that whatever a sales team is tasked with doing and whatever a marketing team is tasked with doing, they identify one strand that connects both of them and use that to form what they may call the key performance indicator for this particular LinkedIn activity that they're going to do. So they all feed into the same outcome. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's a case of then educating the teams and whoever is directly involved in, I would say, taking this to market, but in actually doing the activity on LinkedIn so that it comes across in a professional way. When a lot of people see the same thing consistently over a period of time, it starts to register. And of course, if we're targeting our potential prospects and clients, then it's important that we keep that to that side of their psyche and make sure that we consistently send the right message enough times for us to grab their attention. Mm-hmm. So it's about coming together, having a joint strategy and a plan for executing and achieving this, and then having a common goal to achieve. If they can call it KPI or whatever, an objective, whatever. And then finally, just making sure that those who are directly tasked with doing the activity are doing it consistently enough, so it's speaking to their audience in the right way for them to take the action that is desired.
So that's the sort of tracking and feedback mechanism, so that, mm-hmm. you know, communication as well, obviously. All that needs to happen. I would add one other thing is that, you know, if your company doesn't have the skills or the knowledge for the strategy, you know, reach out to external companies and for a steer or, you know, more assistance. That's obviously me plugging what I do. But,
I'm just going to go.
Sorry.
Because you do great at this particular side of the spectrum. So highly recommend.
No, it's the thing is, you know, companies, you know, feel as if, oh, I have to outsource all of it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It might be they just need a steer. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, start a conversation with someone that you can either point you in the right direction or help you further. I'm just going to look over to some comments.
I started
sniggering a little bit when thanks for accepting my connection request. Want to buy some Bitcoin, Phil? That's why when you were speaking, I had a little snigger. I'm sorry. Andy's saying 100% agree with building relationships for long-term partnerships. People buy off people and building trust and closing the flight distance is key to that, as well as being genuine. Yeah, absolutely. 100% be yourself. You know, selling should not really be about trying to hoodwink anyone. It's about, you know, building up an authentic relationship, having an authentic conversation. And, you know, if you can't help someone, don't try and sell someone something that they don't need.
No.
So Maggie, that's we've come to the end. That's coming up for half an hour. So don't want to take up too much of your valuable time. So thank you so much for joining me today. To the viewers on the live and to those watching the replay, many thanks for tuning in and for your support. I hope you've picked up some useful insights, and I'll hopefully see you on the next episode of LinkedIn Uncovered. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. It's been a pleasure. And thank you to everyone who is going to be listening to the replay as well.
Yes. Thanks, Maggie.